I want to thank you, brother, for the words of welcome. I've enjoyed being in Lisburn today. I remember way down, I suppose, 92, 93, when your minister and myself were in Bible college. You learn an awful lot about somebody in Bible college. Sometimes maybe it brings out the best in people, but it can bring out the worst too when you're under such pressure. But I'll call him Thomas. He's a good friend and a true friend and someone who loves the Lord. And that was more than evident day after day as we spent time in college. Now I want to thank all the boys and girls and the young people for taking part this afternoon or this evening. That was brilliant. And I don't know what I'm going to have to say now to be any better than what you have said, for you have covered so much. I was looking down these notes and loads of notes, and I was ticking this off and that off and the other, because you've said that and you've quoted that verse. I don't know what I've got left to say. It was really brilliant, and I'm really glad that I wasn't at your junior youth for one meeting. I wonder, could anybody tell me what meeting I was glad? You had all sorts of people. You had doctors there, and I don't really like doctors anyway. Had you fireman? No, that was something else. There was one person that would tell you how you should do certain things. And I'm more than glad that I wasn't there. I heard there was a dietitian there. I don't need a dietitian. I'm good enough at eating food without needing help to tell me how to do it. Now, you've already quoted what we're going to speak on tonight. And it was Jonathan Edwards who quoted this verse. And we're going to turn to it in the Word of God in Psalm 139. Psalm 139, we're only going to read a few verses from verse 14 to verse 17. Psalm 139 from verse 14 to verse 17. Now this is an interesting portion of the Word of God, and I know you young people have been looking at it through the year, but it gives us an insight, or it shows us God, a conversation between God and the man who wrote the psalm, that is David. And David is talking about a time before he was born. Now he wasn't this size. He wasn't this size. He wasn't even that size when this is being talked about. It's very interesting, and we're going to read it from verse 14. I will praise thee, David speaking, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them. Amen, and God will add his blessing to his word. Let's bow for a moment's prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise thee for all that has gone before. We praise thee, Lord, for the repetition of the precious word of God. And Lord, as we come to the word of God again, we praise thee that the entrance of thy word giveth light. And we pray that the light of the glorious gospel in the face of Jesus Christ would shine into every heart bowed in thy presence this evening. To this end I pray that thou wouldst fill me with the Spirit of God and with power. I pray that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of man. For we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Man was the crowning glory of God's creation. God created the world and all the animals, and he created man in 6 literal 24-hour days. But the very peak, the very top of his creation was man. You see, man was the only creature created in the image of God. Now, that isn't to say that God has a head and eyes, a nose, ears, and hands. For God doesn't. God is a spirit. You can't see a spirit. So then how could we be made in the image of God? If we're not, if we have hands and eyes and ears and legs and all sorts of body parts, and God doesn't have a body at all, how could we be made in his image? That's a big question. Well, what is God? God is a spirit. And if God is a spirit, and you and I are made in his image, that means you and I are a spirit as well. See, we've got two bits to our bodies. We've got this bit, and some of us are bigger than others. I like that first one too. But we've got another side. We've got a body that we get up in the morning and we hope we wash, and we dress and we do all these things and we go out to school or go out to work. But there's another part of us, and it's there all the time. And that other part is our spirit. And that is the way in which we are in the image of God. You and I are made in the image of God, not by the way we look physically, but by our spirit. Another word for spirit, our soul. Now your body, you young people, are nice and healthy, and in the normal course of events, you live a long life. Some of us have half that life lived, maybe more than it. But these bodies don't last forever. These bodies will get older and older and weaker and frailer, and they'll get aches and pains, and bits will stop working, and the hair will go grey, and sometimes it'll fall out altogether. And then eventually this body will die. But what about your spirit? What about your soul? What about that other part of you? Where will it go? Will it ever die? I'll tell you, never. Now your body will die someday. The Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die. And if you haven't realized it now, you are going to die. We're all going to die someday. But your soul, that part of you that is made like God, will never, ever, not in a million years, not in 10 million years, not in 100 million years, not in 1 billion years, and there's now another word, trillion years, never die, but live forever. Then it can't live forever on earth, because the Bible tells us this earth's going to be taken away. So where is your soul going to be? This soul that you have, that you are made in the image of God, where's it going to be forever and ever and ever? Can anybody tell me? I'll give you a clue. There are only two places. It doesn't matter whether you're from Lisburn or Castledurg or Timbuktu or Timbuktree. There's only two places. Can anybody tell me those two places your soul can spend all of God's eternity? Yes? Heaven or hell. That's right. That's what the Bible says. Now, it's not my words. This is what God says. So we are unique. We're special. We're made in the image of God. We have a body that will die, but we have a soul that will live forever and ever in heaven or hell. And only those who have their sin washed away. And the young people have told us tonight so clearly that only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ washes sin away. And I speak to everybody here tonight. Unless the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is applied to your heart and washes your sin away, you will not be in heaven. That's not a very popular thing to say, but it's true. The Bible tells us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. What can wash away my stain? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now this body that we have is a wonderful thing. Did you know that since you came into this church tonight, each one of us, and I think you're all still alive because you haven't fallen over, each one has breathed in and out over 1,000 times. You're very clever people. How did you remember to do that? Yesterday, in 24 hours, you breathed over 24,000 times in one day. 171,000 times last week. I was going to say that would leave you out of breath, but I'm not going to go there. And in one year, almost 9 million times, you went in and out. Isn't that amazing? And in your lifetime, assuming that you live 70 years, and you may do, you may live a little longer, and you may not live that, but in 70 years, 625 million times you'll breathe in and out. That's a lot of hard work. It happens when we don't even think about it. Imagine going to bed at night and thinking, I hope I breathe in and out until I waken in the morning. Who looks after our breathing? Acts chapter 17, verse 25, it tells us, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. You see, this breath that you and I take in and out, 1,000 times every hour, it's a gift of God. And I want you to realize, each one in this meeting tonight, that it is the Almighty who holds your next breath in his hand. It's a mercy that he allows you to have that breath. Especially when we consider just who we are and what we've done on God in all our sin. In Job chapter 12, verse 10, in whose hand, speaking of God, is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. And now we see what Psalm 104:29 says. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to the dust. So God gives us our breath, and you should thank him for it. You need to go into a hospital and see someone who's fighting for breath. There's something wrong with them, and they're in a terrible way, and they're trying to get their next breath, and it's a terrible condition. You should thank the Lord for it. But you know, it is God who takes it away at the end. And when God takes away our breath, we die. Doesn't matter what hospital you're in. It doesn't matter. Just doesn't matter at all. When God says, that's it, we die, because the Bible tells us it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment. So I hope now you thank the Lord for the fact you can breathe. But then, inside here, at least I hope you've got a heart, it's beating. Now, since we've come here, it has beat 4,200 times since you came into this church tonight. And I don't think, I'm quite safe in saying that there's nobody here who has thought, right heart, beat now. 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 Can't stop this. If I stop this, I'm going to die. You didn't have to think about it. Why? It just happens. Who makes it happen? It beats 100,000 times every day. Without you telling it to. 700,000 times a week. Well, that mathematics wasn't too hard. 36 million times a year. And that's assuming that you don't do any running or jumping, which makes it even faster. And in your life, your heart will beat, if you live 70 years, 2,500 million times. And if it was to stop for how many minutes? I heard it earlier. How many minutes would it have to stop? Yeah. 5 minutes. What happens to you if your heart stops for 5 minutes? That's it. Gone. What happens when your heart stops for 5 minutes? What piece or what part of you dies? Yes, sir? Yeah, what night? Your brain dies. And when your brain dies, what happens to the rest of you? It dies too. But what about our body? And we've got a soul as well. What happens to it if our heart stopped for 5 minutes? What happens to our soul? Does it die? No. It lives on and on and on forever. But you see, the moment it dies, the moment the body dies, wherever the soul is going, that's where it will go. There's no changing. Any time to prepare your soul for eternity and make sure your sins washed away and make sure that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has been applied to your heart is gone forever. Once you die, it doesn't matter. You can't prepare anymore. You will be in heaven. You will be in hell. And you can't change it. You can't alter it. You can't say, oh, well, I intended to get ready. It's over. And that's why it is so important for young people, for older people, to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their heart and to wash away their sins. I worked in hospital for quite a few years, more years than many a GP. And I've seen little tiny babies this length, born very, very early. Do you know the sad thing is, some of them died. And I've seen little babies 3 or 4 months old, and they died. Not all of them. And I've seen a little one come in 3 years old, younger than you folks, knocked down. And we did all that we could. Never forget it, Boxing Day. Many, many years ago, that's where I was. And we were doing everything. We had all the equipment. They died. And then on the other hand, I've seen people at 90 and older. Do you know what? They all die. And just because you're young doesn't mean you won't die. And if you're old, well, you're certainly closer to it. But remember, when death comes, that's it. No more time to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. No more time to repent of your sin and tell the Lord that you're sorry, that you've disobeyed His word, and that you haven't accepted the Lord. It's over. It's over forever. See, that's why in this church, and in my church in Castle Derg, we have Sunday schools, and we have children's meetings, and we have youth fellowships too. And we tell the boys and girls that they need to be saved, that they need to have their sin all washed away. Because if they were to die and they were not saved, then they wouldn't go to heaven. But this heart of yours that beats 2,500 billion times in your lifetime, who controls it? Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. So we talked about our breath being in God's hand. Now our heart is in God's hand. Isn't it a wonderful thing that God has made? The Bible tells us the hairs of our head are numbered. Now you go to the mirror tonight and you go home and you start, and you watch, you don't disturb my hairstyle, no, I by particular. And you count 1, 2, 3. I'll ring you in the morning, see if you got to sleep. God knows it all. We're unique in his creation in that we're the crowning glory of, we're the only one of his creatures that is made in his image. We're the only one that has a soul. But God knows everything about us. Luke 12:7. But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Now I want to go a wee bit further. And I want to talk a wee bit about when you started to live and how interested God was in you. Because we've read that in Psalm chapter 39. Because there we have the psalmist David, he's talking to the Lord, and he's talking about a time before he was born. Now when you were born, you were probably 5, 6, 7, 8 pounds weight. I don't know about these kilograms. I was brought up with the old money. I was a big baby. That's my excuse. I was 8 pounds something. I don't know what the rest of your excuses are, but that's mine. But David's talking about a time before he was born. I'm just going to read verse 15, 16 and try and explain it simply and quickly. My substance was not hid from thee. Now, if you take the word substance, you can translate that body. That makes it easy. So the Lord, as David is saying to the Lord, my body wasn't hid from you. And all he's saying is there, the Lord knew about the tiny little baby that was growing, and he knew it was David. And when nobody else could see it, because he wasn't born even at that stage, God saw him. But it was his body. God was recognizing him as an individual. So even before he was born, he was special to God. Even before he was born, God knew about David and God could see him. And then, my body was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. Well, that just means nobody else could see, but God could see. And curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Well, that just means the same thing. Then verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance yet being unperfect. So God's eyes again. God saw or could see David. My substance yet being unperfect. The word there literally means when he was just a clump. That's what the word means. A clump. An unformed mass. Or do you know what the Hebrew word can be translated? And I know I'm on dangerous ground here trying to speak of the Hebrew. It can be translated embryo. You've all heard of that. So here is the Lord speaking about a baby before it's born. He's speaking about an embryo. That embryo is David. And God knows it's David. God sees him as David. It's not something you can get rid of. And then there's an interesting thing about God's book. And in thy book all my members were written. Well, if you want to start members, there's fingers, hands, arms, ears, eyes. Those are members, or those are parts of your body. And God is a book. That's what he says. And in thy book all my members were written. So if you think of it there, God has a book, and your name's at the top, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, all down the one side. In thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, or literally, what day they should be fashioned, or what day they're going to be made. So, as when the eye, when you got that book and you have the eye, well, it was started and made way, way early on when you were that size. And when your arms would start to form, when your brain would start to form, and all those things. In this book God has, it's got your arms, your legs, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, and on the other side, what day they should be fashioned. Do you know when he wrote that book? And in thy book all my members were written, what day they should be fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Even before your eyes started to form, even before your brain started to form, way before that, God knew David as David. David was an individual. David wasn't something that could be destroyed, as many men would try to do today. So we're very special. We're unique. But you know something else? You see, if we're so special, and if we're so unique, and if our bodies are so good, is that the whole story? Well, I've got some bad news. We might have a wonderful body and it works so well and our heart can beat 4,000 times an hour and we can breathe without thinking about it 1,000 times an hour. And when God created us way back in the Garden of Eden, everything was wonderful. But man messed it up. See, God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and it was perfect. They were perfect. The garden was perfect. He said, "You're only one thing you can't do. You can eat anything you like." Imagine being told you could eat anything you like. That's my sort of place. God says, "There's only one thing you're not allowed to do." Imagine only having one thing that you couldn't do in all of the world. Anything else you could do. Just one thing. Wouldn't that be a wonderful world? Well, it was a wonderful world, but guess what? Adam and Eve weren't content to have such a wonderful world. God said, "You're not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." God said, "In the day that you eat thereof, you'll surely die, or you'll start to die." And that's what happened. Douglas read for us, or he didn't read, he recited Romans 5:12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." One man, Adam, he disobeyed God and death entered into the world. Sin entered in, death came by sin. And although our bodies are still wonderful things, they're not nearly as good as what God created. And you think of the world around us, and it is a wonderful thing to study and to go and to travel around. It's nothing. Nothing compared to what God created. For what he created was absolutely 100% perfect. Who destroyed it? Man again. Couldn't leave it alone. So not only did he sin against God, he has destroyed that world that he's in. So what was God going to do? God could have washed his hands of men and say, "Well, that's it. I give you everything that was perfect. I put you in a wonderful garden. I give you a perfect body. In fact, a body that would never die. But you turned away from me and you sinned." Maybe you're saying, "Well, Adam sinned. What's that got to do with me?" Well, you sinned too. You're a sinner by nature and a sinner by practice.
God could have washed his hands and said, look, that's it. I'm not going to do anything more with you. You've sinned. There's sin in your heart. Your soul, remember, body and soul, your soul will just go to hell. And that's it. He could have done. He could have walked away. But he didn't. Because right back in Genesis 3:15, immediately after the Lord Jesus, after Adam and Eve sinned, God promised a Savior. God said, I'm not going to leave them like that. I'm going to send my Son. Not just immediately. In fact, it was nearly 4,000 years later. I'm going to send my Son to die on the cross to save these people from their sin. He's going to shed his blood. Because only blood will take away sin. And that's what he did. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood. And all those people in the Old Testament who were saved, and there were many, many thousands who were saved, they looked forward to one day when God would send his Son to die for them and shed his blood. And they had faith in him, and that faith was what saved them. And those many people in this meeting tonight, and they're saved. And what do? We just look back to when the Lord Jesus Christ did die on the cross. And we put our faith and our trust in him. One wee word in closing. You've listened very well. We talked about God's books. God has this book with all about you, way before you were born. But God has other books. God has a book called, and you know that maybe you're a minister preaching that sometimes, on God's library. Have you ever preached on God's library? He's just done some of it. Maybe he'll finish it someday. But God's got a library. He's got a book with all your name and all your, the bits of you, when they were to be made. There's another book, it's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And everybody who's saved has their name written in that book. What a wonderful thing. Because if your name's in that book, as soon as you die, you're straight to heaven. But only those who have repented of their sin and asked the Lord to come into their heart, only those people, they're the only people who get into heaven. So I wonder, is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? But then there's other books, and we read of those in Revelation chapter 20. And that talks of the judgment day. That talks of the day when the world is all over, all finished, and God brings those who are not saved, those who have refused to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he brings them before his judgment seat. And the Bible tells us, Revelation 20, verse 11, and the books were opened. Anyone who had died, God raised them from the dead. Even if they died at sea and were buried in the sea, God raised them up. Didn't matter where you died, didn't matter how you died, God raised you up again so that you could stand before him. And that's what's going to happen. And the books were opened. And men were judged out of those things that were written in the books. Do you know what was written in the books? Every sin that you ever committed in all of your life. That's a very big book, isn't it? And that's what you're going to be judged on. You're not going to have a list of things that you did that was good and weighed against the things that were bad. If you did bad, you'd be punished. And the only punishment for sin is hell. But I had a big book written about me. And that was going to keep me out of heaven. But many, many years ago, in fact, over 40 years ago, I was only 4. I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to wash away my sins. Do you know what he did? That book that was being written in heaven about me and all the bad things that I had done and all those things that were going to keep me out of heaven, the Lord Jesus blotted them all out. What did he use to blot them out? Can anybody tell me? His blood. Because only the blood, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And when I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart, he blotted them all out. And you know that book in heaven today, where my name's on, empty. because he took my sins away. And when it comes to judgment, I'm going to heaven because there's nothing bad against me, because the Lord Jesus Christ took it all. That's the essence of salvation tonight. Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to save us. His salvation is free. It's only free because he paid with his blood to purchase salvation. It's purchased, it's free, but it's up to you to receive it. And if you receive his salvation tonight, you will receive it by repenting of your sin and asking the Lord to come into your heart and be your Savior and your Lord. Asking him to wash you in his blood. If you do, that great book in heaven that is well filled maybe by this stage will be wiped totally clean. We read in the book of Isaiah of the Lord blotting out, he hath blotted out our transgressions. As far as the east, in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. That's what the Lord does in salvation. I want to thank the boys and girls for doing so well tonight. But I hope each one of them has asked the Lord into their heart. I was only four, so you can be saved by asking the Lord into your heart to wash away your sins. Maybe you're an awful lot older. Maybe you're an awful lot closer to dying. An awful lot closer to the Lord closing his hand on your breath. An awful lot closer to the Lord stopping that heart beating. Only those who are prepared when they die will go to heaven. May you trust him tonight. Amen.